If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. Now, I kind of jokingly said I'll turn the service over to myself. Maybe I shouldn't have put it that way. I know we do have other ministers in the building, and I certainly have thought long and hard about asking you, one of you brethren, to preach. And yet, this fell on us today. And so again, I sent out some texts and asked the church to pray. We would know the direction the Lord would have us to go. And then we decided that I would preach the message tonight, and then we would take care of what to do from that point on a little later. So again, won't you know, no disrespect toward you brethren, that we certainly got a lot of confidence in you both, and we would be glad to hear from you. But I do feel like tonight that the Lord wants me to bring His message. At the time of our reading, Paul was a prisoner. We know that Paul suffered much for the cause of Christ, and he was called out a very special apostle to the Gentiles, so that he could suffer much for the Lord. And suffer he did, and ultimately he was put into prison, and of course he was kind of bounced around from one place to the other, and yet he was set on a course for Rome because he had appealed unto Caesar. And we know that King Agrippa, Bob said he would have probably let him go. And Felix, they wanted to let him go. But he made that appeal, and so God had further plans for him, even to bring the gospel to Caesar's household. And he did do that. And I believe some in Caesar's household was saved because that Paul did go to Rome. But as they would get on a boat, on a ship, and despite Paul's warning, the men got on that ship because the Bible said a south wind blew gently. Paul was giving them warning. God said we shouldn't go. It's not good for us to go. But they didn't heed that warning. Of course, he was a prisoner, and they probably felt like they had authority and he needed to just be quiet. But they looked at the wind, and they said, it says, because a south wind blew gently. Sometimes in life, things look good, and we make decisions based on what looks good, and we don't consider the consequences of our actions if we get that wrong. I'm glad that we live in a day and time, and you know, us as God's people, we can look to the Lord for guidance, and God has promised to guide us no matter what we have to face, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. We can look to the Lord, and the Lord will guide us. And so we find them, they're looking to the wind, and the wind is blowing gently, so we're going to take off despite the warning. Not long after they set sail, not longer after they leave the dock, a great wind, the Bible calls Euroclydon, and that in itself just sounds ferocious. It sounds scary to me. And it was a great wind that took them for the ride of their life. The Bible says that 14 days they were in darkness. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine how terrifying that would be to not know whether it's day or night? Just dark and terrible wind blowing, and just, you talking about seasick? You talking about just fearing for your life? And that's what these men went through for 14 days. They had no direction. They had no hope. They had lost hope, and the men, they had all quit eating, and they were basically fasting and just hoping. 14 days, they're without any kind of direction whatsoever. And then all of a sudden, Paul appears. He had been off in secret. He had been abstinent for some time. And then Paul comes forth, and he has a message from God. What a blessing that is whenever you're in darkness and all of a sudden you have a message from God. And that is a wonderful thing. And you know that is available to us whenever we don't know what to do, where to turn, which way to go, that God has a message for us. And so in verse 21, Acts 27, verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Oh, I tell you, that is a wonderful message when somebody can step forth and say, God sent a message that everything's going to be just fine. Even though you messed up, even though you set sail without any direction and you just looking at the circumstances and didn't really consider the will of God in doing this, you just took it on yourselves, even though you've made a mess of things, God has given us a message to be of good cheer. We're all going to be fine. Going to lose the ship, but we're not going to lose any lives. We're going to be okay in that manner. Now, the men, even at this time, Brother Allen, seemed like they didn't pay a lot of attention to the message. At least some of them. I'm glad the centurion did. He had a lot of faith, I believe, in Paul. He come to understand Paul's man of God, and later maybe others did. But these men, they began to panic. And they thought it within themselves, we've got to save ourselves. We've got to get ourselves to safety. And so they began to try to climb into the lifeboats. We're going to cut these lifeboats loose and we're going to find our way to safety. We're going to take on these lifeboats. So God has further instruction for them. Look at verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. God's got a message. You better listen. You've already missed the message one time. You missed the message I just delivered. And now if you get in these boats, you're not going to be saved at all. You're going to lose your life. So, in other words, stay on the ship or die. Pretty simple message. Nothing hard to understand about that. God has a way. God has a purpose for us. I tell you, God has a purpose for us being here tonight. God has a purpose for us planning a revival, and God has a purpose for night three being here, and God has a purpose for me standing to preach His message. And I believe with all my heart, God has a message for us. You cannot escape your own way. You've got to do it God's way. You cannot just do what you feel is right. That's really the message that God has delivered to these men. You cannot do simply what you feel is right. So let's continue reading, and on, if you'll drop down to verse 42. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. Tonight, the burden of my heart, I want to deal with the thought of escape. Very simple word, very simple thought, and yet I want to get that on our hearts. Failure to heed God's word got them into the boat in the first place. God said, don't go. They went anyway. And so because they made the mistake, they were in the trouble that they found themselves in, and a desire to do things in a panic, I say a desire, just panicked, and we're going to do it our way. We're going to get on these lifeboats. Almost cost them their life. If they had done what they started out to do, they'd have been in trouble. They lost their lives. But in the midst of all this human reaction, Brother Joey, that's exactly what we are. We're human. And a lot of times we get put in situations where the first thing we want to do is panic. And then what makes the most sense? We've got to figure this out. We've got to do things to make our lives better. And a lot of times that's when we get in trouble. When we do things in a panic. When we do things because we don't stop and consider what the Lord wants. And so, in the midst of all this human reaction, God had a plan of escape. You remember whenever we always like talk about the Holy Spirit being that still, small voice. If you go back to the origin of that passage, you find Elijah and how that he was in the midst of chaos. What? An earthquake, a great earthquake, a fire a great wind come upon him. And the Bible said, God, what? He wasn't in any of that. But he's in a still, small voice. That still, small voice that brought peace in the midst of chaos. And that was the one that he was supposed to listen to. God always has a plan of escape if we will look for it. Now, you probably heard in the news, I believe it's last week, maybe 2 weeks ago now, there's an 81-year-old woman, and I believe she was following GPS, and it told her to turn, and she turned down a boat dock. And she drove off into the water, and she stayed in that car for 10 hours. It was in Venice, down at one of the bays in Venice. She drove into the water, and she got trapped in that car, and she stayed in the car underwater for 10 hours. Now, she was not complete. She had 8 inches of breathing space. Y'all heard about that? Y'all didn't see it in the news? Y'all don't pay attention to the news. Y'all been listening to me. Just don't listen to the news and say I didn't take my own advice. I at least got that story. And I'm sure she tried all an 81-year-old could, but she was not successful. And she had come to a point to where she gave up all hope. I'm not getting out of here. And I guess after 10 hours being under cold, frigid water, you'd about to come to that conclusion too. I'm not getting out of here. And so she felt she had no escape, but she had that 8 inches of an air pocket. And she was able to stick her hand out just a little bit, and a kayaker coming by saw her hand. And of course, from that point, he kind of launched a rescue and called in the troops. They come in and rescued her. But I'm sure, again, she tried all that an 81-year-old could do to find an escape, but she just could not find escape. But I'm here to tell you tonight, that 8 inches of air and that kayaker that come by, that was her escape. And I believe that God provided that for her. And I'm not going to look at the carnal side, because I know you can come back and say, well, there's been people that have done something like that and did not escape. But I want to use that as we're going to take a breath, because she did get out. So y'all can breathe just a minute, because 8 inches of air, that's not a lot of air to be breathing. But I want you to think about that. That gives us a picture of escape. What it means to escape. I'm in trouble, and I've got to get out. And if you were in that same situation, think about what you would do to try to get out. I've got to get out of here. I've got to escape. Escape, the word escape means to save thoroughly. It means to preserve, to rescue, to bring safe, to make perfectly whole. It means to save, to escape. You know, often somebody will say, oh, I just need to escape. What are we talking about when we say that? Life's got the best of me. It's beat me up. I've got to get out of here. I've got to find me. Sometimes people take off on these big elaborate vacations. Look, here they go to an escape. I've got to get away. Can't deal with life anymore. I'm just tired. I've got to go to an escape. And then we go there and we escape. And then we find out that's a temporary escape, because then you come back and you're thrown right back into the thick of things again. But there's this, that idea of escape. And so many times we're dealing with life, we get overwhelmed. Dealing with things, we get overwhelmed. Dealing with circumstances, and life can, it has a way of beating us up, don't it? It has a way of just being overwhelming. And so we look for an escape. I talked to a drunk one time that stayed, and I had a good relationship with him. I talked to him just all the time, and I asked him, I said, let me ask you something. What is it that you get out of drinking? Why do you know it's causing you trouble? It's already hurt your family and broke up your family, and it's doing just, it's detrimental to your health and going downhill with your health. I said, why is it that you drink? He said, to be perfectly honest, I just need to escape. Just need to find. I'm trying to find an escape. And of course, whenever he's through, he hasn't escaped anything. It really wasn't escape at all. It just added to the problem. But in his mind, while I'm drinking, I can escape. Today, one of the latest thrills, Brother Joe, and this is funny to me, and I know I've got family that's done it and all, but you go to these escape rooms. People pay to be locked up inside a building and then try to use their wits to get out. I don't know if that'd be an escape or not. Even if I got out, I feel like I'd be panicked trying to get out of it, because that's what we do when we can't escape. We panic. Notice our passage here. Escape was provided by God. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. All of them escaped. God said it would be that way. And God made provision. What was the provisions? Broken pieces of the ship. The same mess that got them into it, got them out of it. Except it was all in pieces. Sometimes our escape is by picking up the pieces of the mess we have gotten ourselves into. Returning to our Bethel, so to speak. You remember Jacob and how he made a promise to God at Bethel, but then he never returned there like he said he would. God did his part. God fulfilled his end of the agreement between him and Jacob. But Jacob went off to a different land. And whenever everything fell apart on him, when he realized God is not with me here, my family stinks in the nostrils of the people, my sons went out and committed murder, my daughter, she has been abused by some of the men of the city. And so he said, let's go back to Bethel. Let's go back to where we left off, God. We've made some mistakes. Let's go back to where God is. I know we can say, well, God's everywhere and he's in all places, but I tell you something. We can walk away from God, and God will be there waiting for us whenever we decide to come back. That's called repentance. We need to return back to the Lord, and yet many times we have to pick up the pieces of the mess. Look over, if you will, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. First Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. You all know this verse. You probably could quote it, but it does us good to read verses in the Bible. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. I love that. We always look over that part now. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. That has been so badly misquoted over the years. God's not going to put more on you than you're able to bear. That's not exactly how that's written. You go and look at Job and you tell me that was not more than a man could bear. Job lost his children. Job lost his home. He lost his servants. He lost everything he owned. He lost his health. He, given a choice, he would have preferred death over life. But he was not willing to do what his wife said. Why don't you just curse God and die? Can you imagine getting that low and your wife coming and say a statement like that? That's more. I feel like that's more than a man can endure. And yet, that's not what the Scripture says here completely. This word temptation, let's deal with that just a minute, it is similar to the word God. God did tempt Abraham. In other words, God did test him. There's a lot of things that we deal with in life that God allows us to deal with simply because it's a test. God's testing you. Why does God test us? Why did you get tested in school? So that you could gain maturity and that you could move to the next level. God tests us so that we can mature and that we can grow to a different level in life. I'm thankful for some of the tests I went through early in my ministry. It's prepared me to some of the things I've had to deal with later in my ministry. God is good to grow us up. And He knows what to put on us and how to put it on us. And yet it says here that with the temptation, with what's being put on you, He will provide a way of escape that you'll be able to bear it. So God will give you an escape route. God will give you a way of escape. The test is going to be for your growth. Sometimes these tests can be harsh. You know, the Bible says that we shouldn't think it strange whenever we go through some fiery trial. Fiery trial sounds scary, Brother Alton. It sounds like too much. A fiery trial. I'm not looking forward to a fiery trial. Sometimes they are necessary so that we can be more what God would have us to be. Sometimes it is necessary to grow us up so that we can do the will of God more perfectly. And so, again, it can be more than you could handle if you were handling it on your own. But we don't have to handle it on our own. Things, life, sometimes can be overwhelming. Sometimes it can be so much it brings us to our knees. But God is going to provide an escape route. Job followed that escape route. And in the end, he had grown. And in the end, he was blessed. And in the end, he knew more about God, more fully. He had a closer relationship with God, even though it cost him dearly, no doubt, and it broke his heart. He had a greater understanding of God. In fact, he said, "I see God now. I'd only heard of Him before. Now I see Him." If we were about to go down with a ship, if we were in that 8-inch pocket of air, or if we were in a burning building somehow and needed to escape, how hard would we try to find that escape route? If you're in that 8-inch pocket, how hard would you try to get out? Spiritually, we should be looking even harder for the escape during the test of life. But I'm afraid that too often I'm not really looking for it. You know, how hard are we looking for that escape from temptation? You know, I believe many times we almost invite it into our lives. Not all the time. I know there's some trials that we go through that we're not looking for, and yet sometimes there's temptations we deal with and we almost put ourselves in those situations. And we're not really looking for it. Many wait until the air pocket's gone to start looking. "Oh, I'm in trouble now. I better start looking for that escape route." I want to encourage you tonight. Pick up your plank and get to the shore. So many Christians are falling today. And I know you say, "Well, we're in the last days, it's falling away." We don't have to be part of that statistic, you know it. We can look to the Lord and the Lord will bless us. So many Christians are falling away today. The escape was there. Why didn't they seek it? Never jumped out of a plane, Brother Al. I know you've jumped out of a few planes in your life, and it's not that I think I might would do that if I had the opportunity, but I don't know. I might chicken out too. I've never been up that high. While looking out an open door, I put it to the floor. You know, there's been some that jumped out and they hit the ground. Parachute didn't open for some reason. I just believe this, and I don't know. I didn't check any kind of statistics, but I believe this. And I don't know how many's ever hit the ground. I'm sure there's been some. I know there's been some. Probably been many. I just believe if you were to go and check, though, every single one of them will have pulled that ripped cord. Might not have worked. But I believe they would at least, they attempted to pull it unless they just passed out when they come out the door. Why? Because I've got to do something to get this parachute to come out. Because I need it. It's my only hope. It's my only way of escape. Christians often crash without even pulling the ripcord, without even seeking that escape. It reminds me of old Abner. You remember him? Abner made it to safety. And then he stepped out. He had escaped. And then he stepped back out into the trouble. And David stood and gave some words at his funeral. And he said, "Died as a fool died, Abner." I've never been to a funeral where somebody gives those type of words. Probably, yeah. Probably.